Hello and welcome to the first edition of Precient Analytics Data Points podcast series. I'm Tim Sullivan and I'm joined here today by two key members of Precient's growing engineering team, Brad Parks and Adam Reese. Gentlemen, thanks for joining.
Hi, thanks. Glad to be here.
In Precient's work across the defense, intelligence, and law enforcement communities, the company likes to emphasize the importance of solutions crafted jointly by our analysts and engineers. This integration between the two groups and sort of a shared understanding of data challenges is an important dimension of our work. It's one that we like to focus on. But I always think that there's room for Precient's clients and partners and our analysts themselves, really, to better understand how our engineers see the world and what it means to see hard analytic problems from an engineer's perspective. So we often hear that software developers become software developers because they like the tangible process of building things, and specifically building things that solve hard problems. So with that in mind, I was wondering if each of you could describe and help me understand what's the ideal day in the life of a developer, and what's a big win on a good day for either of you guys? Adam, you want to go ahead?
Absolutely. There's something to be said for working on the same thing for an extended period of time, really diving into all the nooks and crannies, understanding all of the nuances, and being able to account for it. One famous computer science professor talked about how you should always be able to have the totality of your program in your mind at one time, and being able to have an almost perfect recall to any part of the code and what's going on there. When you can reach this almost zen-like state, it's very fulfilling to just be able to work continuously achieving things.
Brad, you seem to operate in a zen-like state on most days from what I've observed. What do you think?
Yes. The way I like to approach a problem is I do like to definitely dive into the details, and a lot of engineers wind up in the zone where everything, where time seems to stand still. And what you said about being able to keep the entirety of a program in your mind at one time seems rather impossible. I don't know who you were quoting, but I didn't have that professor. And I don't know if that would be possible with some of the larger applications that we've worked on. But certainly being able to dive into one particular corner of an application, maybe at one level of detail, is definitely something that I think we've all experienced. I don't know, I'm thinking about the problem today, and that was something that was new.
Would you like for us to talk a little bit about the problem-solving process we went through earlier?
Yeah, absolutely, go for it.
We were doing a standard operation in one of our pieces of software that we've both done probably 100 times before, but it didn't work right this time. We saw an error message with words that we were unfamiliar with, and we're like, well, this is bizarre.
The way this all came about is that one of our people that is actually remote today, he encountered this problem, and he called us to find out what should be done about it. And looking at the error, it's something that we hadn't seen before. And so the first step really is to try to reproduce that here. That's always a good first step for trying to debug a problem. To be able to reproduce it on a fresh system means that it's not just an isolated incident or cosmic rays or something unique to that environment. It's something that happens everywhere under a certain set of conditions.
And you guys might think Brad was joking about the cosmic rays, but this is a well-studied phenomenon that literally cosmic rays can flip bits in either your RAM or hard drive and affect the outcomes of computations. This is very well documented. It's not common, but it is a thing that happens.
So I'd like to pivot now to a separate but related topic. One of the questions that our analysts often get is what new technologies, tools, platforms they're interested in using that allow them to more efficiently collect, integrate, enrich, and visualize, and otherwise analyze large amounts of data. And I'm curious whether there are any emerging technologies, trends, or capabilities that you guys, in the course of your work, have become aware of, and you know whether you're using them at Precient or not currently, or whether you necessarily have any opportunity to use them at Precient. Are there any emerging tools and capabilities that you've said, "Wow, I'd love to get my hands on those," and I'd love to play around with that at some point? Adam, would you like to take a stab at that?
I would love to. So we're currently in a very exciting time, I feel like, where a lot of math that had for the last 30 years or so been basically just theoretical and application is actually getting used in the field for the first time and in a big way. So social network analysis is based on stuff that's been around for quite some time, but it is blown up in the last 10 years. One of the interesting things for me about watching something go from a pure abstract mathematical concept to actual application in the field is watching where it fails. Because there are some fields that are, because of the physical nature of our world, not very prone to solid applications for it. There have been great ideas in the lab proverbially which have not done well in practice in many domains. And we have all this talk about big data and data mining and all this other stuff, and most of what it comes down to is doing math on a large data set. And people lose sight of that sometimes, but math and the real world don't necessarily overlap 100% the way you would want them to. So there's a joke about machine learning where it's easy. You can take almost any problem in machine learning and get it to 80%. Getting it past that is varyingly between kind of hard to sometimes impossible. Now, as for what I'm excited about trying to do in this area, I think that just bringing visualization is probably the biggest thing right now.
What do you mean when you say that?
So there's a lot of data out there, and being able to coherently look at it is hard. Like visualizing the tweets of a million people when they're tweeting multiple times per day and then trying to make any sense of that is awful. But I think the human brain, for all of its flaws, is still going to be much better at the kinds of problems we look at on a day-to-day basis than most of the machine examples that I've seen. So enabling people to look at what they care about to try and solve the problem, at least in the near future, I think is the best way to try to be going.
That sounds pretty compelling to me. Brad, do you want to jump in there?
Yeah, part of that is going to be how do we reduce the quantity of what they need to look at.
Absolutely.
Into something manageable. Just because there's so much data out there on an hourly basis, how do you get the data that needs to be looked at in front of the people that should be looking at it and sifting through such a massive quantity? It's mind-boggling.
It is, but I think there's good progress that can be made by applying the algorithms I was just talking about to finding things that it thinks are interesting, to try and get people to focus on those. Now, that assumes that it's actually right, that the thing is interesting, but I think that using the machines to try and filter through to a subset that's probably more interesting to the analysts is a good way to go.
So let's do that.
All right.
Let's get a bunch of data and see what we can. Let's see what we can apply to it.
Well, Adam, Brad, this has been fantastic. Thanks so much for joining today.
Thank you.
And thanks to our listeners for tuning in to the first edition of Precient Analytics Data Points podcast. For more episodes and to learn more about Precient's work, please visit www.precientanalytics.com.
Thank you.